Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
So tomorrow, the New York Giants are taking on the Cowboys, and I should let you know that we're going to be on the air. We're doing a special Thanksgiving show right into the pregame show, so it's an abbreviated Evan and Tiki, but we'll pick the Giant-Cowboy game. We're working on securing the rights to Bad Tiki making a Thanksgiving appearance. Hasn't been confirmed yet, but I would say that we're fairly confident we'd be able to pull that off, and then obviously we'll lead you right into the game, the Giants against the Dallas Cowboys. The latest on Tommy DeVito...
Okay.
The latest on Tommy DeVito. It's almost out.
Should is he out? Is that why the glass is breaking?
Tommy DeVito will be the emergency quarterback.
Wow.
This tomorrow afternoon.
So he's out.
So he's there, but he's going to be the emergency quarterback.
Well, that means he's the third string quarterback behind Drew Locke and Timmy Boyle.
Yes.
Wow.
Come on, make that coffee to go. Let's go.
That sucks, man. And he got hurt on like the last play of the game.
Second to last play of the game, I think.
Nobody was watching it except for Tiki Barber.
Exactly, and I didn't even notice it.
Yeah. This sucks, man. This sucks for Tommy. You know what this whole thing is really starting to remind me of? This whole thing's reminding me of Mike White. Everything about it.
Yeah.
Two incarnations of it. Some flashes of, he could be our guy. But what did in Mike White not being able to stay healthy? And what may do in Tommy DeVito right now is his inability to stay healthy.
Well, it's luckily for Tommy, this is the first time that he's kind of not available because of health-wise. I mean, last year when he didn't play, was it the last game or last two games? I can't remember what it was that they went back to Tyrod Taylor. But that was because I think Tyrod Taylor was bitching about losing his job. And Tommy DeVito was having the whole craziness around him, surrounding him. It was almost bigger than the wins and things. But this is the first time he's banged up. And, you know, it sucks because not that this was his opportunity to make a name for himself.
I mean,
it kind of was his opportunity to make a real name for himself.
Yeah.
Without any of the craziness that surrounded his ascension last year. So, again, I don't know what this means going forward, but he's not going to play this game, at least not unless things go really bad.
Wow. That sucks completely. So, Tommy DeVito is out for Thursday's game tomorrow. It'll be Drew Locke making his first start as a New York Giant with Tim Boyle, of all people. Tim freaking Boyle, the author of the Fail Mary with the New York Jets a year earlier, is now going to be the backup. I mean, it's possible Tim Boyle plays. Like, what if Drew Locke gets hurt? What if Micah Parsons sends him to another planet?
Game tied late. Giants driving inside the red zone. Drew Locke has left the game for whatever reason. Tim Boyle breaks a couple tackles, a 20-yard scamper to the end zone. Friday morning in the papers, the Boyle rumble.
I like the headline, but this really does suck for two reasons. Not only does it make the game less interesting, but Drew Locke's not the future. And while Tommy DeVito was unlikely to be the future, there were those like Tommy Lugauer and many others who were like, hey, maybe he is. Even I've been open-minded to it. You never know. Let me see what this kid's got. And it just sucks we're not going to see him on Thursday. And it just, honestly, that's my analysis. This sucks.
Right.
I'm going to find a positive because I wave Giants pom-pom.
How could you possibly find the positive? They have a better chance of losing for the tank.
Well, not even that. No. But I mean, Drew Locke is a veteran. He did win games last year for the Seattle Seahawks.
And this is my only point. I want to make this very clear. I think Drew Locke stinks. And there's a reason Drew Locke's making $5 million on the backup of a team that didn't even have a starting quarterback. Okay, that's number one.
No.
But as a veteran quarterback and one that is not afraid to launch the ball deep, there is a game within the game tomorrow. And that game is making sure Malik Nabers doesn't pop off post-game to the media. I say this, like, it sucks that we're at this point, but I have confidence that Drew Locke knows when in doubt tomorrow, feed Malik Nabers as much as possible and keep him happy, because the last thing the Giants need is him in front of a microphone being unhappy after the game.
But remember when Locke started the preseason game and Malik didn't even get a target and Malik was sitting there with the boo-boo face in the first half? Now, granted, it's preseason, but you have confidence that Drew Locke could get anyone the football here?
Well, he has a big arm. I mean, it's a long time ago now, not that long, but relatively long time ago in Missouri. He was the like the man. Mm. He was all SEC. Like he threw for a ton of yardage. It was a thought that Drew, and he's big. I mean, he's not a small kid. He's a big, strapping
6'4", 228.
Exactly. So he's got the arm to do what I think Brian Daboll wants this offense to be. Let's not forget, we haven't talked about this in forever, but this offense was drafted and built to be explosive.
Right.
Right. They don't want to go station to station. And when you look at what the season had become, and this is really kind of an indictment on Daniel Jones, it was dink and dunk. It was sustained, long sustained drives and then breaking down in the red area. And it happened so many times this year. They're one of the top teams in sustained drives this year, but they're one of the worst teams in actual scoring.
Right.
And so the way you mitigate and combat that is to have some big plays. You know, your EPA, all the advanced stats, they tell you, you have big plays, you quadruple your chances of scoring. So Drew Lock might give them that.
So let me ask you this question around Drew Lock, because I think that nationally, or really locally, the reaction to this news is disappointment, mm-hmm. as you should be. You want to see more of Tommy right. DeVito. As uneventful
as... For whatever
as,
reason, you want to see more of Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, because I think Sunday gave us an incomplete answer. Yeah. It's not like he was great, but...
He was decent in the second half.
Yeah, the game was out of reach.
First half left a lot to be desired.
It was a very blah performance.
Right. Tampa was not putting pressure on in the second half.
Right.
They played, you know, a deep zone for most of the time, so the completions were there.
Of course.
It was easy. I don't want to say it was easy because it's always hard. You just have to make the plays, but it just felt like... Incomplete.
It was empty.
It's the best word.
That would be the best word. That would be the fair word, because I also don't think you should bury him based on that game, nor can you actually argue that he was any good.
Yes.
So it's a blah performance. So it's like, all right, show me more. Just give me more. And that's what I thought Thursday was. But let me throw a hypothetical at you. Drew Lock does feed Malik Nabers,
mm-hmm.
and the Giants win. It's a winnable football game.
Right.
Drew Lock throws maybe a touchdown pass, maybe 210 yards. I don't know. Mm-hmm. A nice little, cute little performance, and the Giants win a football game. Are you benching him the following Sunday? Or does he continue to be the quarterback as long as he wins? Because, again, I know fans out there are like, I want to lose. I want to lose. Brian Daboll wants to win.
Honestly, it's probably the former there. You just run him back out
you
there.
You run him out there.
But they did last year. They have a track record.
Right, because at this point, it doesn't matter. Right, you're not playing for the postseason. You're not. I mean, I guess you're kind of evaluating some of these guys, but the only way to evaluate, let's say, a Jalen Hyatt or to help Malik Nabers advance in his rookie season is to give him opportunities.
Right, right.
And so you need a quarterback that's going to do those things.
So
for
if
you.
He does that, there's a chance we don't see Tommy DeVito again. That's the sucky part about this whole thing. Like,
yeah.
You can lose your job to injury. The idea that you can is a fallacy of Tarod
Taylor did just last year.
Of course. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean Drew Lock plays well for a couple of weeks.
I think it's different when you're not the starter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're a starter
yeah.
and you lose your job to injury, there's something jacked up about that.
Right. Look, if Josh Allen had to miss a couple of weeks, I don't care how well his backup plays, Mitchell Trubisky, Josh Allen's getting the job back.
Yeah, Mitch could go out there and throw for 450 and four touchdowns in each of the two games that he started in. And guess what?
Right.
Josh Allen's going to go back and be the starter.
In this case, Tommy DeVito's been the starter for 35 seconds.
Yes.
So the other part that stinks is, if you want to see more of Tommy DeVito, you're in this unenviable position where... If they win, you're not going to see him.
What am I, Mirage?
Well, I think it depends on how Drew looks.
Well, yeah.
I think if they win and Drew looks really good, you're not going to see him.
Right. So now Tommy, as a Tommy DeVito fan, you're screwed. No, you got to root for the Cowboys.
No, I'm not rooting for the Cowboys.
No, but you kind of have
no,
to.
No, I kind of don't have
Dude,
to.
Dude, if they win on Thanksgiving, the odds are high that
not.
He did well enough to contribute to it.
No.
And hence, therefore, he's the quarterback the following Sunday
against
New Orleans.
No, he's not. There's a reason they went to DeVito in the first place. They want to see what they have. They want to develop him. If he's healthy, if he can get on the field, he's going to play. Nobody wants to see Drew Lock. The Giants are not bringing back Drew Lock.
Here's the issue.
This is Tyrod Taylor 2.0.
Here's the issue. So this locker room did not respond well to the benching and then the subsequent cutting of Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
If they beat the Dallas Cowboys, and he's pedestrian, like he's not even amazing, but he's decent, are you going to tell that locker room we're benching him? How do you think that goes over?
We're not benching him. We're going back to our original starter, which was Tommy
he's
DeVito.
He's not the original
they
starter.
They named him the starter when they got rid of Jones.
If he plays great, he'll keep playing.
That's the point.
I mean... Honestly, what are we even asking for, right?
Tommy
just
DeVito.
Asking for some, no. Forget Tommy DeVito. I get it. He's hurt. Unfortunately, he got hurt. Sucks for him. He got hurt. But right now, the Giants need to find ways to win football games.
Yes, and if they win a football game tomorrow, you know, in all likelihood, I would say it's 90% likely that if they win that game, Drew Lock is playing the following Sunday against
the
Saints.
That's asinine.
No, it's not.
Drew Lock to finish the season is asinine.
Loogie, the team hasn't had a lead since October 6th. This is a fragile locker room that basically almost wilted at the idea of Daniel Jones being benched. If they win a game with Drew Lock at quarterback, he's playing.
You know what? Quite frankly, they're professionals, so I don't really give a crap if they're wilting. Get out there and play. Enough of this crap that they had a rough week.
Do you guys see?
You know who had a rough week? I had a rough week. The Giant fans have had a rough week watching this football team for the last 8 years, so I don't really care about their feelings.
You guys
go play a football game and tackle.
You see
and now
happening?
Tommy DeVito has got to basically get whacked here because the team's feelings are hurt. So we have to watch Drew Lock play football?
He's whacked because he got hurt and he can't play.
No, but what Sean just said, their feelings are hurt, so when Drew Lock plays a football game, we're worried about
Tommy,
them getting up for
Tommy,
games.
Even Tiki's saying it, if they win the game, you're not going to sit him.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the reality.
I think if they win and he plays well.
Right, which
if
is...
If they win because they have three interceptions and, I don't know, whoever has a pick six, Drew Phillips, let's say, has a pick six... And it has nothing to do with the offense. I don't think you're going to see Drew Lock.
If you win despite Drew Lock, I'd agree with you. But if he's like non-existent and they win, I still think they're going to stick with him. And a part of that is what Sean said. They just haven't won a lot of games.
I'm with Evan. But this is more what's going on. This is perfect.
What?
Tommy just spent 12 weeks building up his DeVito shtick. He's going to finish the year. He's the guy. He's the answer.
Yeah.
If he lasts one game and Drew Lock wins, his whole bit he's worked up since August is over.
Well, again, it's not a bit. But
all you needed to go back is the last 5 minutes on the Odyssey app on the Rewind feature to hear the panic in Tommy's voice.
Yeah, you are panicking.
He's more worried about his own takes than he is the franchise.
No, because I saw them.
What a sad time.
I saw them do the same thing last year where they went to Tyrod Taylor for no reason. If Drew Lock plays even decent, they win.
I have a great idea.
Why do we need to see Drew Lock the rest of the year?
I do have a great idea to save you. Why don't you do some research on Drew Lock's history and maybe come up with a Drew Lock bit?
By the way,
you could kind of ride Drew Lock too.
It's not great.
What?
He had 1 year as a kind of full-time starter. He threw 15 interceptions.
Is he from Long Island?
Touchdowns. Huh? He's not.
Oh, okay.
He's from Missouri.
He was really good in college, but he's bad with his decisions. He just makes poor decisions. I'm not saying he's a terrible quarterback. I'm not saying any of that stuff. He makes poor decisions.
Well, no, I agree with you, and I don't think he's the long-term answer. All I'm merely saying, and it's not even an opinion, I'm just telling you how I foresee this. If they beat the Cowboys on Thursday, I think it's very likely he will remain the starter.
But I think it's more...
That's all I'm telling
you. But I think it's more important to see what you have with Tommy DeVito over the last couple of games, unlike what they did last year, than it is...
But why?
To see if he could be, I think he could be the starter, Teak, but what if he's the backup for the next 10 years? Drew Lock's not going to be the backup.
Tommy's a small kid, and if he's always going to be punching above his weight. Any success that he has, it's going to be because he's overachieving.
Mm.
And so can he be a really good backup? Yeah, I think so. And put him in, you have to start a game, and can he win it for you? Sure. But is he going to be your franchise quarterback? I can't say that with any kind of credibility.
No.
I just can't.
No.
And I know what you're getting on, Tommy, and I feel you, and I love Tommy. He's a great kid.
Underdog.
Underdog, all that stuff. He's not your prototype.
Right. And also, if you're looking for a backup, Drew Lock is 28, Tommy DeVito is 26. It's not like they're separated by like 12 years in age. Like, they're both relatively young. And I understand your disappointment because I want to see Tommy DeVito too.
Yep.
But I'll say it again, and maybe this will kind of help you on how you watch tomorrow's game on Thanksgiving. In my humble opinion, unless he's just terrible and they win despite him, if the New York Giants beat the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving, I think you're seeing Drew Lock the following Sunday against the Saints.
I think we will see Tommy DeVito on the field as a starting quarterback this season because he's resilient. By the way,
I feel him dying right in front of me.
This is the best.
I am hanging on by a thread. I want to run out of here today. I've never wanted to leave a studio, and that includes working with Craig for 4 years.
What have we done?
I'm devastated.
You're not mad at us.
No,
you're just
devastated because he's not playing.
No, because I'm not going to cry like Sean does, but let's be real here.
Come on.
This season has sucked.
I know.
Last year, besides Tommy DeVito, it sucked. The last 8 years, besides one playoff year, has sucked. This was the one shining light. Tommy DeVito being the quarterback, being the savior, and you want to circle this game against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Now we all got to sit there with a belly full of turkey and watch Drew Lock! It's awful!
You want a hug? Come on,
no!
Get over here. Come over here.
No! And I just got a text message right now, and I'm literally going to throw my phone out the window because... Sean's got sources. Tiki's got sources. I got sources, too.
All right.
And my sources tell me Fat Joe He went to the DeVito house for a Friendsgiving. He cursed Tommy DeVito.
Hey, during the next commercial break, I'm
inconsolable. Can I leave?
I'm going to give you a hug. I think the hug's all
a help. Hug ain't going to do it.
Yeah, it will.
No, I'm going to walk out.
A hug from me.
No, I'm leaving.
You're always looking for my approval. I'm going to give you like the biggest Evan hug you can get.
No, I'm a professional. I'm going to stay. But no, I'm devastated. Seriously, I was looking so forward to this. And it's like, you know, telling me something, you know, I don't know what you want to say, but it's just, it totally ripped my heart out here. I'm devastated. I'm emotionally fragile.
This is the best Thanksgiving in years.
Why are you so happy? Didn't you want to see Tommy DeVito too?
Here's the thing. I'm a fan of a lot of things. Food, Thanksgiving.
We know that.
The Giants. I want them to play well. Hating the Cowboys. It's all lined up. But I'm also a fan of when Tommy bits fail. And what happened here, I'm a fan of radio as well. Tommy ran the positive Tommy play to perfection during the Mets season.
Oh, it was great, yes.
He hopped on, he willed it. Let's be honest, if you got Tommy and you really put him in a room, not in front of a microphone, he'd admit, I never saw that Met run coming, but oh my God, it happened after I played the positive
Tommy
run.
Oh my God, yes.
So then he'd go on this whole run and he was able to do this and people started to look at Tommy for this. So he ran another play with the Giants. Tommy did from week one, Tommy DeVito. He got one chance, got hurt, stunk, and now he knows there's a chance Locke wins a game and he never sees DeVito again. And he's watching his whole radio shtick and persona collapse in front of our eyes. It's a happy Thanksgiving.
There's one thing left for you, Tommy, and I'm just giving you friendly advice. Tomorrow at Thanksgiving, right after we do our brief little show, you got to put that cowboy hat on. You got to root for the Cowboys.
No.
Why? You've already put a Jet hat on.
Well, hold on. Well, maybe I did, but you're right. I did do the positive Tommy stuff with the Jets, but that's a different animal. At least that's a New Yorker thing.
If you want Tommy DeVito playing again, I'm telling you, you can't root for success.
I'm not rooting for the Dallas Cowboys.
Listen, Tiki's not rooting for the Dallas Cowboys because he puts fandom above one individual player.
Right.
Sean Morash isn't rooting for the Dallas Cowboys. Same thing. As a Tommy DeVito sycophant, you have one last chance to get him back. Let's go, Cowboys. I want you to repeat after me. How about them, Cowboys?
Kiss my ass. I will not do that. That I will not do. As much as I want to see Tommy DeVito on the field, I'm not going to root for the Cowboys. I'm not doing it.
Hey, Tommy, was this Thanksgiving not how you drew it up?
Choke on it. I hope you choke on it on your turkey tomorrow.
That's a good one. More of your calls coming up next. Tommy DeVito is out for Thanksgiving game against the Dallas Cowboys. And Daniel Jones has an employer. Our quick thoughts on that coming up. 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. Daniel Jones does have a new home. We'll give you our reaction to DJ to Minnesota and a troubling comment by Adam Schefter in the reporting that may take you into how Daniel Jones felt about Brian Daboll. We'll get to that coming up at exactly 3:40. But we get back to your phone calls. 888-808-1019. A lot of Giants early on, including a theory I have. Rewind back to the beginning of the show to hear it. That it's Brian Daboll on the hot seat, not both Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. Like, there is a scenario where Brian Daboll is gone if the Giants don't turn around the effort we saw Sunday, and Joe Shane is back. We also found out in the last half hour that Tommy DeVito is indeed out for Thanksgiving Day tomorrow against the Dallas Cowboys. He will be the third quarterback, the emergency quarterback, which means Drew Locke will make his first start as a New York Giant. And yes, former Jet, the author of the Fail Mary himself, Tim Boyle will be the backup for the New York Giants on Thursday in Dallas against the Cowboys. A game you can hear right here on WFAN with an extended pregame show that begins with us. That's right. We're on Thanksgiving at 2 o'clock, our normal time slot. So as you're driving over to Aunt Millie's house or Grandpa Earl's house, you can tune in to a brief edition, but a new edition of Evan and Tiki that I have indeed just confirmed will feature a special live appearance from Bad Tiki.
And because we're working Thanksgiving, we could have a few cold ones before the show?
Damn right.
Is that fair?
Damn right.
Nice.
I'm working from home, so I'm going to have a drink. I'm going to go up to my Rico Bronya office.
Oh, boy.
And then I'm going to drink and do a show, by the way. I have to point this out. As you know, Tiki, I host a podcast called Rico Bronya.
This is the Rico Brogna podcast.
What you may not know is today is a sad day.
Why?
Because today, 28 years ago, the New York Mets traded said Rico Bronya to the Philadelphia Phillies for two garbage relievers.
Did anybody care at the time?
Yes.
Who?
Young Evan Roberts. Did Mike and Chris bring it up? Probably not.
Right.
And as much as I love Rico, it actually turned out to be a wise decision because the first baseman they acquired to replace Rico Bronya was a fellow by the name of John Olerud, who together one of the great brief runs in Met history.
Exactly.
It would not be a Thanksgiving Eve without Aaron Rodgers lighting the Jets on fire.
Oh, good.
He lit the Jets on fire?
Well, this is about to be a major story here. We are working on audio. It is not out yet. This tweet from Connor Hughes just 2 minutes ago. Aaron Rodgers was asked on if there is a leak problem with the Jets organization. Simply in quotes, 100% yes.
Same old Jets.
He's right.
Leak problem.
I mean, he's telling this last year.
Yeah. Well, he's right about that. I mean, think about the Diana Rossini, Zach Rosenblatt story, and it's great reporting by them. I have no ill will towards them, but that's a leak.
Yeah.
Everything that happened, Woody Johnson's helicopter coming down, Joe Douglas specifically, what he said.
Well, just the meeting.
Everything.
The meeting that happened where they discussed, I don't think it was as serious as it was made out to be, benching Aaron Rodgers.
100%.
I mean, how does that get out?
It's a leak.
But this is the thing, though. If Aaron Rodgers is acknowledging there's a leak problem, then isn't he acknowledging what has been leaked is true?
No, I think he's acknowledging that there are leaks within the Jet organization. But I'll walk you through this. So what you're referring to is one of the reports that Diana Rossini had is that Aaron Rodgers wants to play legs next year, but not for the Jets.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers was on Pat McAfee. We played some of the audio yesterday in which he said, I don't talk to her. That's not true. And said, I haven't decided if I'm coming back. And if I do come back, as of now, my first option is to return to the New York Jets. So your question, Sean, is he acknowledging that that story that Diana initially put out is true and Aaron was lying on the Pat McAfee show? Not necessarily. Because you got to ask yourself something, and this is what I did with the whole Juan Soto Yankee Met thing the other day, that I've drawn conclusions through the leaks that Scott Boras is basically playing a game to get House Steinbrenner to hike up the amount of money. So what I would draw from this is, who's leaking info to Zach and Diana? What's their motive? Part of me says it's Joe Douglas. He just got fired.
Right. It makes sense. He obviously has a relationship with them.
No doubt.
He's had conversations with them over the years because of their coverage of the Jets.
No doubt.
So there clearly is a... Do you have Joe Douglas's number? The answer is yes.
Yes.
That means he's possibly one of the leaks.
He's one of the leaks. Now, to answer your question, who leaked that Aaron Rodgers wants to play but not for the Jets?
That's my bad.
Could be. Or it could be somebody with the motive in the Jet organization to make Aaron Rodgers not want to be a Jet. You have to think about things. So is it someone in the Jet organization, because the Jets don't want him back, who's saying, you know what, let's just piss him off completely. We want this guy out. So you leak that story. I believe Aaron Rodgers about a few things, certain things I don't believe him about. You know what I do believe him about? I don't think he's leaking a damn thing to Diana Rossini or Zach Rosenblatt. I believe him.
No, Aaron doesn't strike me as the person to... I don't know, do that. He feels like more of a, I'm guarded, I'm holding everything, and if I want it out, I'll tell you myself.
Correct. Or he'll leak it to different people, not them.
Yeah, but...
He'll leak it to Joe Rogan.
Honestly, it feels like Aaron would just tell you.
Or tell you.
He doesn't feel like I gotta leak something to, you know, further my motive. He's I don't know, prideful enough?
Yeah.
He wants to do it himself.
I agree. And I think that story, or that part of the story, was absolutely true. Someone told Diana Rossini and Zach Rosenblatt, Aaron Rodgers wants to play, but not with the Jets.
Yeah.
But the question is, who told them that and what was their motive? And my guess would be, the motive is someone in the Jet organization who doesn't want Aaron Rodgers back.
Yeah.
Does that not make sense?
Woody?
I don't think Woody is actually doing the leaking. I think when you're a powerful owner, you have other people do the leaking. So I can't tell you who's leaking
that.
I'm not telling you the specific name.
I'm just
trying
to think who in the organization... I mean, it wouldn't be Joe Douglas.
Right.
Who would it be?
I don't know.
Gerard Taylor.
Yeah.
Maybe. No, I think it's someone, maybe a name that we're not mostly familiar with, but someone who knows the inner workings of Woody Johnson and says, hey, this is our plan. It's strategic.
Right.
We do want to leak this for a reason. We want to piss Aaron Rodgers off because we don't want him back. It actually makes a lot of sense. It may not be ethical, but it makes sense.
I just find it hard to think of who it would be.
Yeah.
There's just not enough football people there that would be on their mind.
Maybe it's not a football person.
Yeah.
Maybe it's someone who just knows the owner doesn't want him back.
Right.
But the overall point was Aaron Rodgers said there's a leak problem with the New York Jets. Me and Aaron don't see eye to eye on everything.
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree with him. He is 1,000% right about
that. He said it last year when he said, we need to make football the thing as opposed to everything else that's going on.
Correct.
And the reason that so much is, part of it was him, by the way.
Sure.
But there's so much going on because people can't help but talk about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And everything that he's doing. It's just, it's hard not to. They haven't had that kind of, that level of superstar probably ever.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had defensive stars like that, but not, never like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Brett Favre was the closest. We all know how that went. We'll get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Ozzy is in Hicksville. How are you, Ozzy?
Ozzy, what up?
All right, guys. How you guys doing?
Good.
Listen, first thing first, happy Thanksgiving to all of yous.
Thank you.
You too. As a Giant fan, listen, I don't want Daboll, and I don't want Joe Shane to come back. I want Joe Shane fired first, by the way, because look at his draft picks, all right? So your top players, offense and defense, is from the old regime. That doesn't say much. I never liked Dave Gettleman anyway.
Right.
But
he did get Andrew Thomas right.
Yes, he did. And he did get Dexter Lawrence right, too.
Right.
So think about it for a second. You got you drafted Evan Neal,
mm-hmm.
who's a bust,
mm-hmm.
all right? You drafted Thibodeau, and as a Giant fan, I don't think he's top 10. You drafted a cornerback last year, Banks, who takes plays off. He's too young to be making business decisions here, you know?
True.
As far as Daboll, guys, think about it for a second. None of the coaches that he hired in his first year are even on the team anymore.
Well, Mike Kafka's still there. He just got demoted. You know, he's no longer the offensive coordinator.
He's no longer calling the plays. He's still the offensive coordinator. He's just not calling plays.
I get your point, but my counter, Ozzy, who's a very good Giant fan, was this recent draft is really, really good. Like, it's not, it's okay. This recent draft of Malik Nabers in the first round, Tyler Newbin in the second round, Drew Phillips in the third round, Theo Johnson in the fourth round, and then Tyrone Tracy in the fifth round.
Right.
Like, that looks, dare I say, awesome.
I mean, it's, you hit it, everybody.
Right.
That's the foundation of the team going forward.
So to kill the 22 draft or parts of the, or the entire 23 draft and parts of the 22 draft, completely fair, but this recent draft looks nothing short of awesome when we're talking about the decisions that Joe Shane has made.
Right, they're all contributors.
And to defend Shane, when he met the media during the bye week, this kind of got buried as everybody was trying to pick apart everything he said. He acknowledged that he probably tried the draft to plug holes too early on.
Right,
which would make sense.
He acknowledged his fault.
Yeah, so if you're acknowledging your fault, and I see clearly in year three in the draft, that's not what you did.
Yeah.
Because what he would have done is he could have took a quarterback reach and not got Malik Nabers. Like, it showed progress as a GM.
Well, you brought in Devin Singletary. Eric Gray was already here, who you drafted. You had, Dante Miller, who you picked up in free agency. Who knows how good he's going to be. You didn't need to draft a running back.
Right.
But you drafted the best available player on the board at that point at number five. I forget what number it was, 174th pick or something like that, whatever it was. And Tyrone Tracy's going to be your starting running back for the next 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Maybe longer if he turns out to be great. So, I mean, when you draft the best players that are available, good things tend to happen.
Let's go to Ryan in Rockland. Good afternoon, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, bro.
You too, man.
Kiki, how many passes did you have in your career? You think you could go play some quarterback? You probably don't have to watch Drew Lock.
I mean, I threw an interception in the Pro Bowl. That's only because Sean Payton told everybody I was going to throw it. Wait till you see the first play, guys. Oh, it's going to be awesome. Jay, just wait. Wait, watch for Tiki. Come on, Sean.
I see this coming right now. We're going to end up with an NFC Championship game with Daniel Jones playing quarterback for the Vikings in Philadelphia against Saquon Barkley. I can just see it happening.
Sam Darnold's going to get hurt.
Well, all right. So let's.
Daniel Jones is going to jump over.
Yeah.
Who's the backup there? I forget.
Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm thinking of Philly.
You're thinking of Nick Mullins.
Nick Mullins. He's going to jump over Nick Mullins.
So let's address this. When Daniel Jones was released on Friday, we all made predictions of where we thought Daniel Jones would end up.
Baltimore. Made no sense.
I thought Baltimore. I thought Washington was a possibility. I wrote down where everyone else said, but I've lost the document I'm looking for right now.
I said Denver.
Did you say Denver?
And then I switched to Green Bay.
Yes, here's what it was. Tiki started with,
I started with Raiders.
Yeah, because we thought he was going to be released at the end of the year. He was just going to sit. He was going to be the third or fourth string quarterback. So initially, Tiki had the Raiders at the end of the year. I had the Commanders. Tommy had the Carolina Panthers. Sean had the Broncos. Once we realized he was going to be, wait a second, my document is telling me a very different story. Once we realized that the cut was occurring on Friday, some of us altered our picks. Like, so, for example, Sean decided to go with the Denver Broncos, and he also thought about the Green Bay Packers. Tommy decided to go with the Arizona Cardinals.
Right.
I went with the Baltimore Ravens. Tiki, I don't have Ravens written down for you.
Well, it's because I changed it like an hour later.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have, because the team you wrote down was Minnesota. So was you nailed
gut.
It.
That was my gut. But then you started talking about the... Because I don't think I knew who the backup was in Baltimore.
Josh Johnson,
who's
yeah.
37
yeah.
years old.
So I convinced you to change your pick when your pick was actually right.
But also I had heard. Somebody told me that he wanted to go to Baltimore.
Really?
And so instinctually it made sense, Minnesota, because if you're Daniel Jones, you're not necessarily going to play, but you want to further your career.
Right.
Go learn a Kyle Shanahan system.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And so as I was thinking of where he would go, it was like, all right, who's running the Callahan systems, Kyle Shanahan systems right now? The one that made the most sense was Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin O'Connell even said so after he was released, how much he liked him in the draft and everything else. And so
Kevin O'Connell's also said in the past that organizations fail young quarterbacks more so than young quarterbacks failing organizations. So I can see how a young quarterback could hear that and say, that guy.
Right, right.
The other thing about him choosing Minnesota, so to our last caller's point, is there a scenario where the Vikings clearly appear to be a playoff team? They still have a chance to win the division, but are more likely than not a wild card team. Is there a scenario where Sam Darnold gets hurt and Daniel Jones replaces him? Sure. I don't think there's a scenario where Sam gets benched.
No.
Like, despite the turnovers being up, I don't think that's going to happen.
He's just played too well.
Yeah, he's the guy. So it would have to be an injury. So is there a scenario where, yes, Daniel Jones is quarterbacking the Vikings in the playoffs? Yeah, I guess so. But I wonder why he picked Minnesota. You say the Shanahan offense, learning under Kevin O'Connell. Is it the view of maybe I can play? Maybe I do get an opportunity?
Maybe. I think it came down to like the personality that he wanted to be around.
Well, Kevin
O'Connell is a great dude. He's fun.
Yeah.
He understands like football from a X's and O's standpoint. Obviously the Kyle Shanahan stuff that I was just alluding to. He's fair, and you know, he has this presence about him if you've ever met him. So I can get why he would go someplace that's not harsh.
Does he have a sense of humor?
100%.
Because the first thing I would say if I'm Daniel Jones is beat your ass in the playoffs, bro. What's up?
Exactly.
Now, you say not harsh. I want to read something to you that Adam Schefter tweeted, and I think reporters tweet something for reasons. I think every word is calculated. So I'll read this to you and tell me if we should read anything into this or if it's just, no big deal. Daniel Jones wanted to spend the rest of the season with a playoff contender and around a nurturing head coach such as Kevin O'Connell.
Yes.
Nurturing head coach. What does that mean? Like baby him?
No, I think it's just, it's give him the tools to get better.
And Brian Daboll did not?
Well, I think Brian Daboll had an urgency for him to play well. It was like Daniel Jones couldn't spend the season with the Giants just, you know what, let's get a little better here. Let's get a little better here. Let's do this a little bit better. And then, you know, we'll see where we are.
Mm.
The Giants needed a decision to be determined about Daniel Jones.
Right.
Kevin O'Connell doesn't have that. He doesn't have that.
No, I mean, I'm kind of looking at Daniel in Minnesota and assuming that Sam is healthy and does not, you know, suffer any kind of injury. Is this almost a, hey, Daniel, let me develop you a little bit. Next year, we'll let Sam go because we're not paying him.
Right.
And you have a chance to start.
Even if they want to keep Sam, they might not be able to.
Right, right. Plus, J.J. McCarthy, I still think, is their future. That's their plan. So could Daniel Jones then turn into the bridge to J.J. McCarthy, where Daniel starts next year for a playoff contending team, maybe even starts the whole year? Maybe they really take their time with J.J. McCarthy. I have no idea. And that's the O'Connell plan for him.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he's only on a deal this year, so it's not like he signed through next year.
Right, and also the Vikings, if they lose him in free agency, would get a comp pick.
Yes.
So it's actually a really good deal in that regard. But one thing I will say to you guys, and this is just me speaking as an IFO, but I'm going to put myself in the Giant fan shoes. Let's say our last caller's weird scenario comes through. Okay? Eagles are in the NFC Championship game. Not a surprise. Saquon is beasting. Everything is great for them. The Vikings suffer an unfortunate quarterback injury in the middle of the playoffs, and DJ takes over and plays really well. And the Vikings are now sitting in the NFC Championship game against the Philadelphia Eagles. The way my mind works is I already know Saquon's great. I knew Saquon was really good when we let him go. That's me speaking as a Giant fan.
Right.
It's not a surprise that he's awesome. It was a business decision, as we've talked about a million times.
Yeah.
If Daniel Jones is in an offense in which it's all working, and him and Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison are clicking on this high level, and Kevin O'Connell is kind of unpackaged Daniel Jones into this star.
By the way, that makes a big difference. You have two really good wide receivers.
I get it. I get it. That would bother me infinitely more than a guy who I already knew was good when he left just being good on a better roster.
I agree
with That's you. Me.
I agree with you.
Thank you, Teague.
I agree. It's hard. It's hard not to like be, not upset, but just bothered.
That would bother me. Either
by,
way.
By the circumstances that Daniel Jones now finds himself in.
Either way, it would be bothersome. However, it's still the Eagles. They can't go to the Super Bowl.
I get the Eagle aspect
but
of it.
But that's a big part. That outweighs everything.
Okay, fine. At the end of the day, you're rooting for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Sure. But you can't act like, DJ, let's go, DJ. Yeah, beat the Eagles.
No,
dude, on what planet would you be okay with that?
Because I will still lean on my morals as Brian Flores' defense that did it.
He's going to rationalize anything.
Oh, by the way, you might be right.
Yeah.
Maybe. But if Daniel Jones
probably are going to be right.
But even if you are right, Daniel Jones in the Super Bowl is the starting quarterback. Bro, there's come on. I mean, come on, what are we talking about?
Let me give a quick dating analogy. So whenever I broke up with a girl, if she got with
that is a lie. I've been told only girls have broken up with you. That's what my sources have told me. You've actually never broken up with a girl.
Not on my scoreboard.
That's the source I have.
I keep score. You keep score baseball games, I keep score this type of stuff.
And my source is
a pencil.
And my source is your wife. So that's what I've heard.
You're talking to my wife from behind my back? Anyway, you break up with a girl and within like a month she gets with another guy and you think, man, I shouldn't have dumped her. Maybe it's me. So that's the Daniel Jones situation, Sean, is that we weren't able to turn him into this type of quarterback. He gets picked up by a new boyfriend, and now they're living this great, you know, happy marriage. They got three or four kids, and we're like, that could have been me, and I'm still at the club at 40.
It couldn't have been me.
Not that this is me. I'm
married. We've seen 6 years. It couldn't have been me. The Eagles can't go to Super Bowl with Saquon Barkley because it justifies the signing. Sorry, period.
But just remember this. So, like,
right, if they got exactly what they designed.
Right, exactly. They got a full short.
I get the Eagle aspect of it.
I already have the drafted tweet. You did it with Miles Sanders. You couldn't do it with Saquon. I can't have that go away.
Yes, the drafted tweet. I get rooting against the Eagles. I'm merely saying it would be very tough to watch this. Now, Sam Darnold is a starter for the Vikings, so it's easy to say, well, what about you? What about me? Like, am I going to be okay with Sam going on a run?
But like you said, it's four different teams later.
That's the difference. And that's why Sam's success doesn't kill me. Because it's been four different teams or three different teams, however many teams it's now been. It's also been 4 years. It's also a different administration. Like, this is the same administration in the same year. If he goes from stinking for the first 9-10 games with you to quarterbacking them to a Super Bowl in the same year, I'm sorry, the Geno Smith comparisons used on me, the Sam Darnold comparisons used on me. Bro, throw them out. They're not even close.
Yeah.
And far worse.
It's LOL Giants.
And I was going to say.
Yes, it is.
You want to talk about unwatchable. You say, nah, I couldn't be able to watch that. You're right. America doesn't deserve to watch Daniel Jones in a Super Bowl. We'd be bored to death. So.
Yeah, if that's your final answer,
great rationale there.
That's just high. You know, hypothetical. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
I agree. I'm just responding to our last caller's point. Sorry. I don't think it's going to happen either.
You know what? His point sucked.
Well, I got a question for Sean, though, now. If Kevin O'Connell could turn Daniel Jones into a quarterback that could sling it, isn't that an indictment on Brian Daboll?
Of course
would you then
it
say
is.
That?
Of course it is.
Okay, so
but then
you
I would beg of the Vikings then to give Daniel Jones 6 years and pay him a bunch. So at least go through
it. I know, and you can go through enjoying that, but what if it is unlocked by Kevin O'Connell?
Then that would be an indictment on Brian Daboll, sure.
Okay, that's all. That's really what this would be about. It would look bad for everybody, and it would suck. Now, do I think it's going to happen? I don't think he's going to get the opportunity. Sam's had a really good year. Sam's going to get a chance to continue to play. And here's the other thing I know about the Vikings, by the way. The Minnesota Vikings are never getting to a Super Bowl. They are one of those teams, like the Jets. You know, we're cousins. I don't mean this because I don't dislike the Vikings at all. There's no ill will in me saying this. This is one of those franchises that they will find a way to screw it up.
You guys suck!
He knows it. We all know it. Let's go to Anthony in Delaware. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Happy Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Thank you.
You know, I don't know. I heard the narrative earlier that Tyrod Taylor replaced DeVito last year for no good reason at the end of the season. I mean, the reason was DeVito was atrocious in the last three games he had. He stopped pulling the trigger because he was afraid of throwing interceptions, and he wanted to keep his stats in line to look better moving forward. At least the first three games, he took chances, and he played like a winner. Then he just pulled everything back, and the players are probably going, we have Tyrod Taylor. Why are we keeping DeVito in there? So that narrative, to me, is incorrect.
Yeah, the
if
only
I could make one more point.
Well, one thing, Anthony. The thing I would disagree with you about with the benching of DeVito last year is the reason I was against it, and I still am looking back on it a year later, is I just wanted to see him finish out the year, and we'll have a full evaluation. Like, I wanted to continue to evaluate him. I think your criticism is fair. I'm not even saying you're wrong. But when a season is out of reach, and my other option is Tyrod Taylor, who's a free agent, who I'm not going to re-sign, spoiler alert, I didn't re-sign him, I just wanted to continue the evaluation. So it's not that he didn't deserve to be benched. It's not that Tyrod Taylor wasn't a better option. My thought at that time was, I just want to see this through with him and see what he's got. Right or wrong?
Right. I think he just became ineffective. Those last two games that he played were at home. Were on the road, I should say. Mm-hmm. New Orleans and Philly, who's good.
Right.
And so I know it's an emotional statement to say what he just said. It's not necessarily accurate.
Right. Let's go to Mike in Manhattan. Mike.
Hey, guys. Happy holidays.
Thanks. You too.
So, speaking of the holidays, I turned on the Free Odyssey app, chiming in this morning, and I got this nice prompt talking about the holidays and how we're so appreciative. I thought my boss was trolling me for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, I get hit with the BG Balls ad talking about how you got to nestle your balls for Christmas. So,
pictures of your booty.
See what the producers mentality wise of one of those two up back to back.
Let me just defend our producers. It is my understanding that whether it's Al Dukes or it's Pete Hoffman, Pat Boyle today, mm-hmm. or Tommy Lugauer, they are not choosing the order of said commercials.
Yes.
So anytime you hear something a little weird, such as Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Thanksgiving, balls, that is not a choice that, let's say, Al Dukes made. So that comes from above. Mm. But the commercial order can be very humorous.
Yes, it can.
I've heard that. Someone once told me I was doing a podcast, and I was ranting about someone being a fraud, and then there was an awkward cut into a commercial from Mike Francesa's podcast. And they're like, we saw what you did, Evan. You're calling Mike a fraud. I was like, no, I wasn't. I had no idea what commercials were being played. I still don't know what commercials are being played during a podcast. I do it, and then they're edited or something like that. I don't know the system. But it came across like I was calling the great Mike Francesa like some bad word, which is not true. Mike, if you're listening, happy Thanksgiving.
That's Aaron Rodgers!
It is.